Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armelie.
Well, good morning, everybody, and everybody online. It's always a privilege to be able to share the word. And I'm not doing a Christmas teaching because it's not Christmas yet. I'll leave that to Pastor Jay. I really am going to talk out of the book of Ephesians this morning. It's just been burning in my heart, and I just want to share a few things that the Lord's given me over years, and keeps adding to it. Amen? It keeps unfolding, and more revelation comes. So, Father, we just thank you for the privilege this morning to be able to hear your word and to implement it in our lives. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring such a healing anointing in this room this morning, Lord, a really strong healing anointing and a revelatory anointing, Lord, as I preach this word, that, Father, we would begin to understand who we are and what we've been given. And, Father, Joy used the words, what a trade. And I think, what a trade we have received. Your righteousness for our sinfulness. There's no greater trade. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, help. And I thank you, Lord. I entitled this, We Must Know the Goodness of Our Heavenly Father in This Hour. It's crucial that we do. And we can know it up here, but do we know it really deep inside? Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says, Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The kingdoms of this world are shaking. You don't have to look far to see that. But we live in a kingdom. I have an echo. We live in a kingdom that will never shake. No matter what happens, we live in a kingdom that will never shake. This is a word I received from the Lord as I began to prepare my message. I want them to see who they are in me in this season and how they can stand in me. In a world that is shaking, I want them to have absolute security in me and not in anyone or in any system. I have given them all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing that they will need that I have not already made provision for. I am calling them to come up higher in this hour. He has made all the provision that we need for this next season. Everything. Absolutely everything. There's nothing taking him by surprise. This isn't, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this for him? No, he's pretty sure of what he's going to do in the middle of all this. But it's very crucial in this hour that we know who we are in Christ. Our identity has to be secure. Amen? Ephesians reveals our identity in Christ. And in order for us to walk in this hour, we have to have a clear picture of who our Father is. And many of us can love Jesus and talk to Jesus and embrace him and have a love relationship with him. But not everybody can handle or not everyone understands that we have an incredibly good Father. That's harder for people. And that's why the church, under a religious mindset, has presented to the people an austere father. And that's not who he is. And that's why people are frail and people struggle and people function often under an orphan spirit because they don't know who their loving Father is. And boy, if we ever need to know it, it's now. It's now. So Ephesians talks about, and I'm not going to be able to go into all of these, but I just want to set this up if in the future I have an opportunity to talk about this again. Our position in Christ is we're to sit. God has made us sit with Christ in heavenly places. And all of us as believers have to function from rest. And that's not new to this church. We have to function from rest first. There's no limit to the grace that God is willing to pour into us with his grace. But it only will come from a position of rest. Sitting is an attitude of rest. It is knowing and understanding the impact of the cross, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is an interesting thought, which I read about earlier, and I just want to, I've said it here before, but I'm going to say it again. In creation, God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. Adam was created on the sixth day. He had no part of the 6 days of work. He wasn't around, right? God's seventh day was, in fact, Adam's first day. God worked 6 days, and on the Sabbath, he rested. God works before he rests, but man must first enter into God's rest, and then alone can he work. So remember, number one, in Ephesians, it'll show you we need to sit. Then our life in the world is a walk. Sitting describes our position with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. Walking is the practical outworking of the heavenly position here on earth. Walking is expanding God's kingdom here on earth. And we already heard Joy shared that so wonderfully. Wherever we go, we're to share joy, right? His peace and his rest. But if we don't understand that we have a good father, and we think we have an angry God, we could start blaming God for COVID. And many people do. Amen? And so we have to understand, no. We have a good, good daddy. And he did not put this on it. And this is not punishment, and this is not judgment. Amen? Got to understand that. This is not coming from God's realm. And so God's for us, not against us. So walking is expanding his kingdom. So we're going to do this all over the Christmas holidays. And if the church should close, remember Pastor Jay's words, which came out of his spirit last week. We individually are the church, and church is open. I thought that was really good. I thought that was something to hang on to. We're the church, and our doors are open. Amen? So we're going to walk, and we're going to walk in a particular way, not filled with fear like the world. How can they grab onto anything if we're the same as they are, right? So Ephesians 4, 1-4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I mean, Ephesians is full of how we have to walk. The word walk is used 8 times. And we first see it in Genesis 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. It's our walk that people need to be able to see. Stand is the last one, and that's the warfare. That is our stance towards the enemy. We are going to be unmovable in this. God is good. God loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. Amen? He is gracious, and we are wonderfully accepted in the Beloved. We cannot enter into true warfare to see God's kingdom come here on earth without knowing who we are in Christ. That's a dangerous thing to do when you don't know who you are and what you've been given. And if we do not know that we're accepted in the Beloved and Abba Father loves us and embraces us, it's foolish to go out there and try to shoot the enemy. We have many wounded soldiers in the body of Christ because they carry an orphan spirit. And when we don't know who the Father is, we carry an orphan spirit. And that's the bulk of my teaching this morning, actually. And I want to get to that, so I'm going to just move along a little bit. So we have to function from a place of rest. From that place of intimacy with the Lord, we begin to walk. And from that place of walking, we move into standing when the enemy comes against us. And even from hearing Dorman, Pastor Dorman this morning, you know, this whole aspect of fear that just is everywhere and coming at us in the spirit realm. We've got to stand and say, that's not my portion. That's the atmosphere of hell. That's not the atmosphere of heaven. The atmosphere of heaven is faith. And Pastor Dorman again said, COVID, you're not coming near me. And he stepped in that faith, and obviously with somebody in the room next to you, that's pretty close quarters. And he had surgery. And so you talk about being compromised already. And because he declared it in the spirit realm, not just saying it idly, he said it in faith. That's the key. It had effect, and it put a wall up. And notice how, we've got to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm only going to do chapter 1 and a little bit of it. So Paul's writing these epistles from prison under the Roman government. And probably not COVID, but imprisoned for preaching the gospel and turning people towards Christ and away from Judaism and religion. And so he's in prison, and if you study the epistles that he wrote, this man is totally free. But he's free inside a prison cell. And where he's living is not affecting him at all, because he just writes these epistles and shares these revelations that he's getting, which is what equips the church today. And so here he is, imprisoned, and he says to them, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He's sending, and every one of his letters starts that way, "Grace to you and peace." You know, if I were sitting in a prison cell today, could I start writing letters to people with "grace and peace to you"? Right? Let's be honest. Probably would be, "Get me out of here." Somehow. The bed is lumpy. The food is terrible. The toilet sits in the corner of the room. I have no mirror. I don't have my makeup. I mean, it's true. Could I be so in the spirit and falling more deeply in love with the Father? Because that's how I have walked. And now it's just becoming deeper, knowing that I have an assignment. That's where Paul was. Grace, God's active power working in through you. It holds all we need to powerfully impact the world in our day. It hasn't been diluted. It's the same, okay? Receiving and understanding his grace totally transforms us. So Paul's saying, grace to you. His love is going to transform you. It's transforming me while I'm in prison. It's going to make you whole. It's God's goodness, not our striving or self-efforts. We can live our lives based entirely on our own efforts or based entirely on the unmerited favor or grace of God. And we need grace in this hour. We need grace in this hour to pray for those that we're hearing about that are sick. We need grace to be in confined areas. We need grace right now as we enter into the Christmas seasons when we can't do what we normally would do. And we need grace to be able to be loving to people and to share our hearts with people in a way that they can grow. Grace is forgiveness held out to all of us when we don't deserve it. And we could have to deal with people who are very miserable over the holidays because of this. Seriously. People who can't handle isolation. People who are filled with fear and don't know what to do. Right? We can think of people. I can think of people. I went to visit my brother who's not saved. And I mean, away from me, so full of fear. And I wasn't even going to go by there because I thought, what's the point? And the Holy Spirit says, practice what you preach. Thank you, Lord. So I put together a care package because he's a bachelor. And I said, Lord, we're going to bless him. And I've had to go to Chatham twice, and twice God's had me go and bring food to him and just to love on him with care packages. And it's like, he's afraid, but you can put it on the doorstep and bring it and talk from a distance, right? And said, Lord, in this season, you can win him and release peace, because Jack and I, we're full of peace and want to release that peace into him, right? So peace is shalom, healing, blessing, prosperity, harmony in the bond of unity. When we have been restored in our relationship with the Father, we receive a peace that no man can give us. And church, we have that peace. We carry that peace within us because the Prince of Peace has come in, right? He's dwelling in us, so we can release him wherever we go. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27, the peace we carry, the world can't give us. It only comes from him, right? Now, the next part of my message is from Ephesians 1:3-10. And I'm going to read it to you out of two different translations. And listen really carefully, because that's really my message. Ephesians 3, how blessed is God. This is the Message translation. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and makes and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind and had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishment, chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in the deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. That's in the Message, okay? So he wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving. Remember that, lavish gift-giving. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. You talk about a Christmas in heaven. From the foundation of time, he had this all planned. Now, this is the Passion. Everything in heaven contains, has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. I want to stop right there. In heaven, everything we will ever need, everything has already been lavished upon us. So why do we live like paupers? Because we think orphan. The Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped up in Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe because of his great love. He ordained us as one with Christ from the beginning so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Wow. Because of Jesus, right? For it was always his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children so that his tremendous grace that cascades over us would bring him glory. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. Wow. That same love that he has for Jesus, he has for us. Okay. My prayer is for us that we would begin to comprehend what is there in the spirit realm for us. We are his inheritance. And he's ours. But what we have, can't compare it to what he's already given us. It's amazing. We're new creations in Christ. When we accept Jesus into our hearts as Lord and Savior, we become brand new. We become a prototype on the earth. There was never anyone like us on the earth before. Because now Jesus Christ is in us and walks on the earth through us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. And we can know it up here, but do we know it in here? That same, do you realize what kind of power it took to bring Jesus out of the grave? A lot. A lot. That power dwells within us because he lives in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Father dwells in us. And I believe in this season of having to be so close to home and not being able to go very far, if we will press into the Lord's going to open up our understanding of who we are. And not only are we going to come out of this time very different, we're going to come out of this having reached into the heavenly realm for what we need because he'll provide it. Amen. I've said it before with ministry and the finances that it requires, I've learned to reach into him because there's no way that it can all get provided by man. And somehow what man gives through offerings, God multiplies, and it just doesn't run out. In all these years that we've existed, through doing all of this, the finances never ran out. And at times, I think, how did we do everything we did? How did we ever do it except it was God's economy, not ours? Titian Ministries the same way. Not our economy, his economy. It's amazing. Health. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. So as soon as symptoms start, what do I do with that? Speak my symptoms? Or do I say, absolutely not. Get your dumb symptoms out of here in the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Do we war against it? Amen? Or do we just accept it all? No. I'm going to stand and I'm going to war. It's not my portion. Right? So we've been purchased with his blood. I got to move along here. I always have more notes than I need. All right. So when I was reading this week, what really jumped out at me was the word adopted. It just, and has done that before, but it just did it again. Gary, do you understand you have been adopted into my family? Do you fully get it? What that means for you? You and I, if Jesus is our Savior, now have all the rights of a legitimate son. Okay? Or daughter. Because of what Jesus has done, when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts as Lord and Savior, and we recognize that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that could take my sin nature away, and that my yielding and my asking for forgiveness and my surrender and inviting him to come in changed everything. I moved in that split second from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, from being lost to being saved. Amen? From going to hell to going to heaven. In that one split second as I acknowledged Jesus Christ as my Savior, that all happened. There will never, ever, ever be another miracle in this whole world as great as that one. We could become billionaires. It would not compare. Seriously. To go from being lost to being found is an amazing, amazing miracle. Under Roman law, when a person was adopted, he was a new person. All the debts of his old previous family were abolished as if they never existed. That's under Roman law. Okay? So, we were in another family at one time, and we could have incurred a lot of debts. You know, when you talk about people who have been in witchcraft and have been involved in ritualistic offerings and all the rest of it, people who have run abortion clinics and have been personally responsible for the death of hundreds and hundreds of babies, when they take that step from this place into this place through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, the debt they incurred there does not cross over into their new life. Do we understand that? I met someone like that who trained her whole family to work in the abortion clinic, and her children still did when I met her. But she had come to life. I said, how do you live with that? She said, only with the blood of Jesus. I know he set me free. I don't carry that with me. I've turned my life around, and now I'm doing everything I can to stop it. And she says, I'm praying for my two children that I nurtured up in this field myself, that they will come free also. Huge. Amen? Under Greek, in the Greek language, it says this. There's only one word for adoption, and that is son place. S-O-N-P-L-A-C-E. We've entered into the son place. We have to understand that Adam never had this place. We do, because we're in Christ. And Christ is in us. Before we were saved, we carried an orphan spirit. Now we carry the spirit of adoption. We have a good father. And I remember when that term began to come out, we have a good father, it was almost like it felt a little bit uncomfortable. Because if you've been raised in traditional religion, then he's a hard father, a hard taskmaster. And many people in the world and in church still think of the father as a hard taskmaster. And you've heard us preach about this. And if you're watching online, if you've never heard that before, we've got a good father. A father who's prepared everything ahead of time for us, who couldn't wait to see us come in to be his own. Amen? And that's what we want to pass on to people over the holidays. But we got to first have it to be able to give it. Okay? So Jesus gave us joy, love, peace, hope, security, and abundance. Aren't these the things that are found in a healthy home? Right? And isn't our home the place where the presence of the Father is, who provides all this? A home is not only a physical structure, but it's a place where the assurance of unconditional love is. In a real home, and maybe you're sitting here today and this was never part of your home, and for many people it was never part of their home. But God wants to make your new home this. What you didn't have in the natural, He wants to give to you in the spirit. Understand that today. Warmth, the love of the Father's there. Security, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Relationship or fellowship, and home you can talk your heart out if it's a healthy home. Without being put down and condemned. Well, that's how it is with your Heavenly Father. He wants to communicate with you. He already knows what you're struggling with. When you voice it, He starts to bring life to it and helps you to see maybe there's wrong thinking. Guidance. You know, children in a healthy home need guidance. That's why they have the mom and dad. We have the Holy Spirit as our counselor. There should be joy in a home, right? Heaven's full of joy. Our homes need to be full of joy. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is another thing you'll find in a healthy home, an abundant life. They're all present in a healthy home. But we also have to know how to access all this by faith. And we have to start practicing that. What isn't there in the natural, if we see it in Scripture, Lord, I want that in my life. I need that in my life. We can still think like orphans once we're saved, but often we do, don't we? We still don't recognize everything we've been given. A person with an orphan spirit lives life as if he has no home. What a lie the enemy has told us. We live a life like we have no home, yet we have a heavenly home. Is it 11:30? Okay, may not get it all done. But anyway, I'll give you what I can, and then we will close. An orphan deals with fear, rejection, anxiety, and fatherlessness. And even when a child is adopted, it takes a long time to get that out of them. We watched as we had an adopted young lady in our family, and it just watched how long it took for that person to actually get healed. How hard it was for that young lady to bond because of shifts that were made in the first 3 months of her life, and couldn't bond. Took years to get healing to come in that area. And anyway, God's amazing and He does an amazing work. Now, you need to hear this. An orphan spirit cannot be cast out. We become adopted in the beloved through our new birth. Then we need healing in our soul. Our emotions are often very damaged in our journey as we walk in Satan's kingdom, right? That's where we got damaged. Salvation is a first step. The Greek term for born again, I can't even say it, it actually means to be born from above. or to be born from the beginning, from the very first, so we're made brand new. So positionally, it's all done. And we need to know that when we're transferred from one kingdom into the other, we become sons and daughters of the King. We get to call him Abba Father. He's our daddy, and he's a good, good daddy. Amen? But there's still healing that needs to come. The best story for that, I don't have time to go into it, but it's the story of the prodigal son or the loving father in Luke 15:20. And just to read a little bit from the Passion Translation. So the young son set off for home from a long distance away. His father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and a great compassion welled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, "Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be." And the father interrupted and said, "Son, you're home now." When we get saved, the father says, "Son and daughter, you're home now. Everything that is mine is yours." He got out the ring. He got out the shoes. He got out the robe. He put the very best of his things. He didn't just go to one of his servant's closet and pull out some clothes. No, he sent the servant to his closet, the father's closet, to pull out the very best. And that's what the Lord's done for us. The very best. We're not orphans. We're sons. Just want to stop here for a minute. And I'll close in a few minutes. But I just want to stop here. Ask the Father if there's any area in your life where you live outside that perfect peace that the Father has provided, outside the security and the beauty and the love that he's provided for you. Just ask the Lord, "Lord, am I still acting like I'm an orphan?" Just take a minute. Ask him this: "Father, are there any areas in my life where I am uncomfortable with your love?" Lord, you see those areas that you've just revealed to them. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would just pour your love into those areas and bring healing deep into the core of who they are so they could see themselves as sons and daughters of the King, not as orphans who carry a poverty spirit. In Jesus' name. Home is a place of refuge and nurture. I said earlier, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And so as we head into this Christmas season, out of a place of being sons and daughters of the King, we can love on others with his love like never before. People in the world don't have any place to go, and yeah, they're going to do their gift giving. And we are too, and that's a special time. But it will not meet the need that they need. It will not fix the fear. Only Jesus can. It will not fix their insecurity. Only Jesus can. And out of a place of security in him, as sons and daughters, we can minister to them, be it on a FaceTime call, be it on a Zoom call, be it in person. We can let them know how much their Heavenly Father loves them. We need to stay attached to the vine, and we talked about that a few months ago. It's so crucial that we stay filled up. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Pharisees could not believe that Jesus, a supposedly righteous teacher, was actually having fun. How offensive it is to people when they show Jesus as having fun. Religion hates it. In that movie, The Chosen, at the wedding feast of Cana, if you've watched that, Jesus is dancing with the disciples and having fun. Wow, that's hard for us to imagine that he would do those kind of things, but he did. He ate and talked with sinners, rubbed elbows with greedy tax collectors, received food prepared by prostitutes, and answered questions asked by thieves and crooks. That was Jesus. He loved being with those who still needed to know the Father's love. He was so secure in the Father's love that he had grown up with. Remember, he grew up with this. He always knew him. He always knew his Father. Do you ever wonder what the conversations must have been like when he climbed up on the mountain in the wee hours of the morning to talk to his Father? I do. I do a lot. Because he did it so much. He was one with him all the time. Thomas, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? He just wanted to be near him. He lived out of an intimate relationship with the Father. Whenever the Pharisees tried to discredit him, Jesus would tell them he knew the Father and the Father knew him. Whoa, that must have rattled their cages. Jesus wanted everyone to be like himself. To eat, to breathe, and to sleep spiritual intimacy with the Father in heaven. He didn't talk about the love he had out of a biblical reading the Bible. He talked it out of relationship. I'm telling you, if you never talk to the Father, talk to the Father. You've got a good, good Father. He loves you, and he's got good plans for you and for me. It's not over. There's life at the end of COVID. Come on, church. And in this time, you and I get to sit with the Father and talk to him and get to know him in the Word, get to know him in the New Testament and see what a loving Father he is. You can't see him in the Old Testament until you first get to know him in the New, out of your born-again man. And then you can begin to understand why he did what he did in the Old Testament. He still was a good father, full of love. He never changed. The relationship Jesus had with his Father transformed the way he saw the world and radically altered his attitude and way of life. Because of his relationship with his Father, Jesus became mighty in word and deed. He turned the world upside up, down, and then right side up again. We are called to have the same loving relationship with the Father because we have been adopted as his children. So go out with caution. as the Holy Spirit leads you. We still have to get groceries. We still have to go to the pharmacy. We still have to get gas in our car, right? But we have to use wisdom right now. But go out and share that incredible love that's within you. You have been given everything. You are sons and daughters, not orphans. Everything you need is already there. Just reach in and receive to give it to somebody else. Amen. Amen. So, Father, seal this in our hearts. And I pray for everybody here that they would open up the word and they would begin to see what an amazing daddy we have. No wonder heaven's celebrated when Jesus was born. No wonder the angel sang joy to the world. Amen. The Lord has come. No wonder heaven was waiting in anticipation to see what would happen. Because all of the Father's children were coming home, because this tiny baby would one day lay down his life, hang on a cross to set us free. Heaven was waiting to see what this would look like. Amen? The light had come. God bless you. And Merry Christmas ahead of time.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Why don't you stand? Amen. I want to close with a priestly blessing. Is that good? You know, I was thinking about, actually I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament. I'm always amazed that when Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking he was blessing Esau, how strong that blessing was. He couldn't take it back. And I think, man, as people, we've lost a little bit of understanding of blessings. Because in their understanding, I blessed you, it's a done deal. Didn't matter what he did after. It's like, I can't even take it back. I blessed your brother. He's telling Esau, I'm sorry, it's done. So this is a priestly blessing. Ready? Why don't you guys raise your hands and just receive it. The Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, Father God, I thank you. We bless the people of God. I thank you, Lord, as they go out, they are equipped to radically change this world and bring people hope, peace, life, love, and healing. May we have a blessed week until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.